It is time for us to bring in our friends from the BerkshireEdge.com. Yeah, that's where you'll find them on the web, the BerkshireEdge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The stories, all the information. You can find them here also on a Wednesday morning. We broadcast on the weekend. We have David and Marcy, I do believe. Good morning.
Yes, you do. Good morning. Long time no talk.
That's right. Well, how was your vacation?
It was very nice. We were on...
All too short.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
About a year too short, actually.
We were on Far Island for a week.
Oh. Well,
away from everything, and it was really wonderful.
Did you bring your computers with you, or no?
Oh, yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
So we work all the time, but...
Yeah. So it was a working vacation.
But it's really different to be working there with the ocean, the sounds of the waves, and the breezes coming through the windows, and it's very nice.
That's why people live in L.A., you know.
That's right.
That's why estate in Malibu is so expensive.
All right.
Well, you know, this is, you know, no cars on the island. We were in a little community that has no stores or anything.
That's kind of like living around here.
Yeah. Somebody once threatened to come visit me on Music Mountain, and they said, "Oh, don't worry." I said, "What do you want?" I said, "I'll get some food." She said, "What do you want?" She said, "Oh, I'll just go to the corner and get some soup." I was like, "What corner?"
What corner?
All right. Well, let's get some soup in our bowls, right. And that soup is what some of the stories you'll find at the BerkshireEdge.com. We'll start off with the... talking about the editorial that praises the town of West Stockbridge.
Yes, well, we don't write that many editorials, but this one we felt was very important to bring to everybody's attention.
Believe it or not, the town of West Stockbridge adopted a resolution, what they called a proclamation for tolerance, kindness, and acceptance, which was a recommitment to condemn hate, racism, and white supremacy. This is kind of a national issue, but the select board there felt that they needed to say something that the town of West Stockbridge is appalled by this intolerance that seems to have been sweeping the country, led by you know who.
The elephant in the room, as we say in our editorial, although we don't. I'm not sure that we mentioned.
It is. It's kind of like Voldemort, you know.
Voldemort.
He cannot be named.
Voldemort.
In fact, you know, Voldemort would be a good name for him. I think people should.
I know so many people in broadcasting and in writing that have written about Voldemort. That's why I started laughing when you brought it up.
Really?
Because they're not from around this area, and I just started laughing because it really is a pretty apt description. But anyway.
Anyway, I mean, we've actually had quite a bit of news from West Stockbridge this past week. They are... I think it was the same meeting.
Yes.
They had an inquiry about the competence of the fire chief of West Stockbridge, which was a very heated meeting, and we understand there's more to come about whether he should remain or whether he should be let go, even though it's a virtually unpaid position. I think he's paid about $500 a year, but there's concern about the way the fire department is running. That's a very interesting story, and our coverage is, according to people in West Stockbridge, is extremely complete, and they were very happy that we had actually laid the whole thing out for them, because apparently it wasn't laid out so well at the meeting itself. So the West Stockbridge Board has been extremely busy in a very interesting way, so worth following.
Well, the interesting thing is that the Stockbridge, the two Stockbridges,
the regular
the East Stockbridge and West Stockbridge. So,
one is Stockbridge, the other is...
Yeah, and they would be... the real Stockbridge would be very upset to be called East Stockbridge, but nevertheless, let's try it. They are also having trouble with their fire chief, too, for many of the same reasons. So they've had lots of... fire chiefs, you know, are these kind of autonomous... have these little autonomous fiefdoms. As you may know, I'm sure it's the same in Lakeville and Salisbury and other Connecticut towns.
Yeah,
all of them. Every once in a while, somebody decides to take a look.
That's right.
And that is what's happening in West Stockton.
Right.
And it's actually being done by a new select board member named Eric Shimolonis, who also incidentally introduced the proclamation. So that he's a very interesting guy and shaking things up in West Stockbridge.
All right. Let's go to another story about students,
yeah,
teachers in the community at Monument Mountain Regional School organizing an event for this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is very sad. Is that a teacher there that was, and a coach, a cross-country coach for a girls' cross-country team, Chris Unsworth, had been there for many years, died of cancer. And he was young. He was 48. And so the students are holding a run-in.
a run.
You might say a run for Uns is what they what they are calling it.
His name was Unsworth, but he was
Chris
called
Unsworth.
Uns.
And to celebrate celebrate his legacy at the high school, and also to raise money for a scholarship fund that will be given in his name to students going to college. So it's a very worthwhile cause, and he sounded like I don't think I ever met him, but he sounds like a wonderful teacher, one of those kinds of teachers that really make a difference in students' lives, and they remember for, you know, all their life. So, unfortunately, but anyways, the students are celebrating his life and memory.
Right.
You know, this next...
So that's this Saturday,
yeah.
And there's at Monument Mountain, there'll be a 5K run walk and a 1 mile track loop. Registration is $25 for adults and $20 for kids and students.
All right. That is coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
Yep.
This weekend. And it's got a lot of local corporate sponsors. Yeah.
All right. Now, your next story is almost kind of like opening up Pandora's box. A finance committee member rejuvenating the village of Housatonic plus part of Great Barrington, and a combination of zoning changes. And I say it's like opening Pandora's box because in Salisbury, to turn this very now rundown building into somebody to buy it and turn it into needed apartments, they had to go and rewrite zoning laws and regulations and come up with a plan to actually do that. And I'm wondering if that's what they're going to run into here in Great Barrington.
Oh, well, you know, to talk about revitalizing the little village of Housatonic is part of the town of Great Barrington, and it has its own identity and is very proud of it. In fact, when you're driving down one of the highways into Great Barrington, I mean into Housatonic, there's the state road sign that says "Entering Great Barrington." Well, the people of Housatonic have crossed out Great Barrington on this sign and written in Housatonic. So that gives you a sense of their pride in this little village. But one of the signature structures and complexes in Housatonic is this old Monument Mills complex of old building, factory buildings.
Right on the river.
Right on the river. Right in the center of town, that once was the reason for being, really, for they made clothing and cloth years ago, but have been, you know, empty for many, many years now. And although some of the buildings have found some other uses, nevertheless, there's this sense of the time has passed this little village by. And periodically, people would say, wait a minute, let's revitalize this little town, this little village. And that's what this article is about. It's written by Sharon Gregory, who is a member of the Great Barrington Finance Committee. And so it's an interesting proposal. She goes into great detail about how to, it's not just the Housatonic School, which is, you know, one of the prominent places in town, which is no longer in use since the school went into a built since Great Barrington and the Berkshire Hills Regional School District built a regional elementary school. She makes some proposals about changing zoning and renovating the library there that people are very proud of, and some other suggestions that really, she says, it would be a five-year plan to revitalize this and reimagine this this little village. It's quite a bold proposal, actually. Doesn't have any money attached to it, really, at this stage. But it is an interesting initiative.
Well, and also, I mean, the thing that we love when we do stories like this is that we have 21 comments
already.
on this story in one day. I mean, many of them are from the author herself responding to people who wrote in. But it's very interesting, and we have we know who these people are who are writing in, and they are on both sides of the political spectrum. We have some who are known conservatives, others who are known liberals, and they're having a very lively discussion about this. And you know, we are. I think we may be the only online publication in the area that welcomes public comments, and mostly they have been eliminated. But we always find that our comments are very interesting. You know, we do monitor them to make sure that nothing is offensive salacious. this is a perfect example of. You know, how the Edge is stimulating local discussion. It's very, very, very interesting to see what people are reading or what people are saying about this. So we're very happy about this.
All right. You know, in the meantime, we spoke, I think, a couple different times about this next topic. You broached a little bit on it. And, Lee, the Eagle Mill redevelopment has received tax credits now, so now they can just proceed with their plans to turn the factory into...
Yeah, this is a big deal.
And this is, I mean, you know, again, I mean, the mills in Housatonic are sitting there doing nothing. They're all owned by one person and it's hard to know what his purpose is in holding on to these, but he's holding on to them while they deteriorate. But here's a project of somebody who is restoring an old mill in the town of Lee, and this is going to revitalize Lee. It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be housing and stores and a hotel. I think people in Lee are very excited about it.
Yeah, it's a really a major transformation of the town of Lee, and you know, it is interesting to compare what's happening in Housatonic with what's happening in Lee, because the owner of those mills in Housatonic is really just sitting on them, letting them deteriorate. And on the other hand, in Lee, this developer has really taken taken the whole his ownership of these buildings in stride, and has found tax credits to develop them, and has imagined a real a really interesting complex for the town, and it's such a contrast, you know.
Yeah, really, because you drive through Housatonic, and these buildings are, you know, these buildings could be so exciting.
Yeah.
They're really old 19th century mills. They're made of brick. They're right along the riverfront. They could be housing, or they could be places for people to work, but they need to be redeveloped, and, you know, and no one has, I mean, there was somebody about 5 years ago, maybe a little bit more, 10 years ago, a developer from Miami who summered in the Berkshires, and whose wife bought one of the old mill buildings in Housatonic and made it into an art studio. He came up with a proposal for redeveloping all those mills in Housatonic into really, you know, a very interesting mixed-use project. But at that point, the town wasn't ready, and I think we think that he went a little bit too far. It was kind of a Disneyland theme park approach to Housatonic, which local residents resented. But this one by Sharon Gregory is much more reasonable, and you know, and has a local origin, whereas the other one had a sort of Miami Beach origin. But still, what Jeff Cohen is proposing for Lee is very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, it's, what's
we've been watching and we've been reporting on it. If anybody is interested in the history, I mean, he's gone through a number of fights over whether he could tear down, you know, some shanties that had been built much later than the original mill. Were they considered historic buildings or not? And if he couldn't tear them down, the project couldn't go forward, and he was finally given permission to tear them down. There was a judgment that they were not historic. So this has not been an easy road for him,
and he's persisted too.
He has persisted, yes, and it's now going to be, and he's going to start building soon, and it's terrific. And
yeah.
There, you know, and he figures he'll get more tax incentives as he in the next stage. But it's really, we're all waiting to see how it comes out, and he's a guy with taste too, so we think it's going to be very nice.
All right. Now we just can't seem to get away from fire companies or fire buildings.
Oh,
well, this is the same town. We referred
yeah.
to this story a little bit
yeah.
earlier in the conversation.
But right after that is the firehouse in Great Barrington. And I just think that sooner or later...
Oh, right.
Recycling old buildings is such a smart and intelligent move. But every once in a while, you get something like this, which appears to be something that's good and just sits there.
Well, it's been sitting, you know, Great Barrington is puzzled over what to do with its old firehouse, the old original firehouse, you know, because the town built a number of years ago, built a brand new firehouse outside of town. And they Outside of the downtown. And the old building, the original firehouse, has been sitting with people have had lots of different proposals for it, but none has really come to fruition.
Well, and the problem is that the town made a very bad deal. I mean, they sold it to a guy about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Who told the town that he was going to do all kinds of things. He was going to develop a cooking school with a restaurant. And, I mean, there was a huge fight about it because he was also going to cut off the alleyway, which helps, you know, which runs behind the stores on Railroad Street, and the shop owners were afraid they wouldn't be able to, you know, to receive merchandise the way they do now. Anyway, it was a very big fight, and this guy finally bought the firehouse for $50,000, and the town remained committed to getting rid of all the asbestos at the cost of another $250,000 to the town. And this guy has done nothing. It's just been sitting there. It's used it as a parking garage for his and his friend's antique cars. And it's, you know, nothing has happened there. It's an eyesore, and we're afraid that it's going to
also, it's tumbling. Its structure is a little fragile, and bricks keep falling off the sides of it. Luckily, no one has been struck by these falling bricks. But, you know, it is a danger. And it's right next to the Mahewi Performing Arts Center, too. And everyone would like this firehouse to be transformed into something. It seems as if there may be a possible buyer for this.
Well, the lawyer for the owner went to court to have something established. What was it? And she wanted to make clear something.
Who owns it?
Yeah. For the owner.
So. Yep.
So that, you know, that was the sort of the first indication that there was something afoot. But we have no idea who the potential buyer is. There's talk that there may be two possibilities. But at any rate, I mean, you know, we're hoping that the story develops because this is an eyesore right in the middle of town and tremendous potential.
Yeah.
All right.
So we have one other story.
Yeah, municipal thievery. I like that term.
Yeah. You like that?
Yeah. Municipal thievery.
Well, you can have it, actually. I know. This is sort of a sad story, actually. An assistant treasurer and tax collector, Deborah Ball, was charged embezzlement.
Embezzlement, yeah.
People would come in to pay their taxes in cash, because some people do that, and she'd just pocket it.
She recorded
as paid, and then pocket the money. So finally she was caught in this little scheme. And, it's a typical small-town story about how she needed money.
Well, but she has pleaded innocent.
She's
not
pleaded
guilty.
Innocent. Not guilty.
Guilty, right.
It doesn't happen that often.
It happens more often than you think. If you take a broad scope and look at the area, like the tri-state area, and take from, let's just say, from Canaan, Connecticut, and do a 60-mile radius in each direction, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I think this is like the third or fourth story in the past 5 or 6 years that I've heard of something like this. When times get tough, unfortunately, people make foolish decisions.
Yeah, well, she had apparently some personal expenses that she had to, or needs that she felt that she had
Although
to.
Although we don't have that in our story.
We don't have that in our story, but that apparently was the situation.
But on the other hand, we have no information about that yet because she has pleaded not guilty, and the DA, of course, is pressing charges. But and the pretrial hearing is set for January 8th, so it's she's free on bail now.
Do they have any idea how much money and how long it was going on?
Well, according to the DA, it's over $100,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
But there could be potentially additional amounts discovered.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well.
It's just a sad situation, sad case here.
Yeah.
But as I say, you know, it's rare, this kind of behavior on the part of municipal employees, and at least in the towns that I've seen.
Well, all I can say is McGruff is not scary enough then to prevent people from...
Right. this went on for many years, and it was only because the town got a new auditor that this showed up. So, I mean, not that the last auditor was hiding anything, but I guess some everybody looked at the numbers in a new and different way. And
couldn't reconcile them.
Right.
That actually often is the case. Is you know,
it, yeah, it is.
Until
I think it is.
Because right. you one can learn a system and work within the confines of that system, and it's only when someone else who is comes along and looks at it with fresh eyes goes, you know,
right.
what's
yeah.
that over there?
Yeah.
Well, that's why we have independent oversight,
yeah.
supposedly.
Right.
Supposedly.
Well, it's funny because I'm looking at the comments, and somebody says, let's not jump to conclusions until we hear what she spent the money on. Maybe she was saving the money to renovate the high school herself.
And on that note,
maybe
you'll need a lot more than that.
Yes, right.
Sign that person up to write a comedy book. All right.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we will speak to you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
So everybody should look for our magazine, berkshirescalendar.com. The new issue went on the stands August 1st, and it's being distributed. I know it's at Le Bon's and various places, a preview of everything that's going on in the Berkshires, including a profile of Salisbury, from now till October 31st.
All right. And
thank you.
Also check you out online.
That's right.
That's right.
TheBerkshireEdge.com. All right, guys.
Right.
We'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Talk to you.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robinhood Radio.